What's up, everybody? Episode 12, Latino Free Minds. We're back here, back at it. We're going to talk about some current events that are going on this week. Some major events, if you will. Some very questionable events. But, you know, we'll talk about them, see kind of how we feel about them, and you know, see if you guys agree or not. How you doing, Danny?
Doing good. Just glad we're doing another one. Things are leveling out at work, so, you know, we could do this a little bit more frequently. So that feels good. And, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, big stuff going on, a lot of distractions going on also. So,
yeah, it's true, right? It's always, that's one of the, we were talking about last time, right? Their playbook. That's like play number one, go to play, distract.
Yeah, man, I was listening to someone's some podcast, and it was kind of weird because this person was talking about all the stuff that we had been talking about, and he's a different ethnicity. He's from Missouri, so
okay.
It was just weird listening to what he was saying. He was kind of like throwing a lot of stuff in his talk. But it was literally like each episode that we've been talking about. So it's a trip seeing, you know, a bunch of people just waking up and talking about the same things without anybody coordinating. So it kind of goes back to what I was saying in the last episode, is the illusion that we're the minority. That's exactly what it is. We're the majority.
Yeah. That's funny. I was listening to the, I don't know which podcast you're listening to, but the what is it called? Real AF
podcast? Oh yeah.
That one. Okay. Like I was listening to one of his today too, and it just as I was listening to him, I was thinking too, like, hey, we said, you know, something real similar to that. So yeah, it is funny, like when you're hearing other people and you kind of go, hey, I talked about that too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, the way you put it is yeah, there's more people out there. There's a lot of people out there that feel the same way. But, you know, as we know, the media, social media, all the forms of most of the forms of communication, or where we would see, you know, make it seem or appear as if, yeah, we're the crazy ones, the little minority, like get rid of these people. You know what I mean? But it's. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, if you want to call it the same page, but on the same page.
Yeah, it's all an illusion. We just have to break out of it. You know, we have to see it. And a lot of people are starting to see it. You know, you start talking to people more and more. And that eye is opening. One eye is opening. Mm-hmm. So it's happening.
One of these episodes, we're going to be like, the eyes are open.
Two eyes are open.
Yeah. We're getting there. But yeah, I think you know, like we said before, little by little, it'll happen.
It's the same playbook. Watch, I'm gonna give you an example. Yeah. And I know we're gonna talk about this, but check this out. So Stormy Daniels, Trump is coming up, you know. Mm-hmm. Trump is gonna be indicted, supposedly. They're still kind of, you know, working on that. We'll find out tomorrow. But mm-hmm. check this out. Same playbook. They already did this. The Stormy Daniel thing already happened. So they're using the same thing again. You know, we were talking. Stormy Daniels actually admitted that she did not have an affair with Trump. After the Mueller investigation, they didn't find any wrongdoing with that whole situation. And Stormy Daniels actually owes Trump's legal fees. Yes. And on top of that, Avenatti, the lawyer, is locked up for some other shady things that he was doing for, I think you said, 14 years. So
yeah,
I don't, you know, we didn't really dive too much into Avenatti. He's not worth the time, but he's locked up. So it's recycled.
And now I think he owes Stormy Daniels money, something like that. But it's just, you're right. It's the same storylines, just I mean, I feel like nothing about what's going on now with, you know, the whole Trump and possibly, well, sounds like he's going to get indicted tomorrow. It doesn't sound like it's anything new that DA is bringing to the table. It sounds like it's the same, you know, charges or accusations from when Trump was in office and they were dealing with the whole Stormy Daniels thing. But as far as I know, I didn't see anything that's new.
No, there isn't. I haven't heard of anything being new. Just that he's bragging that he's going to indict him. You know, the grand jury is all on board to indict him. You know, what's that lady from New York? Is she the mayor or something like that? Or
we have the
I know she wanted to be governor. She wanted to be governor.
Letitia James or something like that.
She's been going after him for, I want to say, 2 years, if not longer.
Yeah.
And she's
the attorney general for New York.
Huh?
She's the attorney general for New York.
Oh, there you go. AG for New York.
So, and the other guy doing the indictment is the DA. But New York, you know, they're super liberal. They've already said they don't like Trump. So,
oh yeah, they openly admit it. So
he said that, yeah.
And Letitia James was trying to be the governor for New York, and I think the rumor was that they promised her the governor position if she was able to get Trump. So, you know, after 2 years, Mueller investigation, I don't know, how long was the Mueller investigation? Another 2 years?
Jeez, that was like 2-3 years.
Yeah, millions of dollars, and they weren't able to find anything. But this DA is going to be able to find something that they didn't catch. So,
well, I mean, if he's indicting, you would have to think he found some, you know what I mean? Like, all right, you must have something new.
Yeah.
Because whatever was there before didn't stick with the federal government, the federal, you know, Bureau of Investigation, the, you know, the FBI that's pretty, what do you call it? Pretty partisan. If you look at recent history, even they were like, okay, we didn't find nothing.
Yeah.
So it's like to have this, you know, DA come out and is actually going to follow through with this. It does seem partisan and just not. Doesn't seem like a real investigation, like a real crime going on. I'm pretty sure New York has other crimes that they can probably focus on.
I mean, the crime in the city is all time highs from what I've heard. So yeah, they could be focusing on other things. You know, they have a lot of people moving out of New York. There's an exodus in New York, just like there is in California. So yeah, there's other things that they should be focusing on for sure. But
yeah,
there's no way that, you know, they've missed anything. Well, anything big in the past 4 years, because they've been trying to get him for the longest time, actually longer since he started. He announced that he was running. So, you know, let's say 2015, 2016. Damn, man, that's 7 years. Trump has to be the cleanest son of a gun out there if they haven't been able to find anything. You know, he was playing them with the tax thing for the 7 years. He's like, nope, I'm not going to give you my taxes. Nope, 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 nope. Then Supreme Court said, you gotta present your taxes. Presented the taxes. What did they find?
Nothing.
Goose egg. Nothing.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna read this data for New York. It says, all told, there was 189,777 arrests citywide in 2022, a 22% increase. Of those, 47,572 were for the most serious crimes: homicide, rape, robbery, felony assault, burglary, grand larceny, and grand larceny of a motor vehicle. The number of arrests linked to shootings and homicide were 1,411, rose about 12% from the year before. The city saw the most gun arrests in 27 years. So, and that's one of the states with this, you know, with strict gun control. So, you know, I think that DA should, you know, focus on the safety
of the citizens.
Of the citizens, right? Of the state that he is, he's a representative of that state, right? So, you know, so as far as the whole Trump thing, it's looking like he'll get indicted tomorrow, from what I have seen.
But check this out, going back to patterns. Who did they, there's this agency, or I'm not too sure where they're from, but they also issued an arrest warrant for Putin. Do you mind looking it up real quick?
Yeah. I saw that. I think that was the other thing that I had seen and I couldn't remember, but yeah.
There's an acronym that they use.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. ICC, which is the International, let me click on this thing. International Criminal Court.
So the ICC issued an arrest warrant for Putin. So guys, if you don't see the correlation and the patterns that are happening here right now, you know.
And to me, okay, because you're talking about patterns. To me, this kind of just feels like a whole January 6th thing too. Like the whole go protest. I don't know. Like it feels like a setup. But I don't know. I don't know.
Well, there was a tweet that this Democrat leftist tweeted something like, "Oh, you know, Trump is calling for protests that sounding a lot like, you know, J6, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, another insurrection coming up or something like that." And someone replied to that tweet and goes, "Oh, so are you saying that there's going to be Antifa agitators there and they're going to, you know, create unrest and, you know, cause a spectacle, right?" And it's like, yes, that's, you know, in other words, that's what it looks like, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, because Antifa's still out there. I think there was a conservative at UC Davis, I want to say last week or the week before, and they were breaking the windows, like trying to get into the where the guy was. All he was there to do was to speak.
Well,
I think it was Trump, and they were breaking the windows.
Well, here's another pattern that we should probably take a look at. Talking about Antifa, right? And BLM. So if you guys remember, BLM, Antifa were going to courthouses in different cities like Portland, even Washington, D.C. and stuff like that, vandalizing them, burning them down. There's a picture of D.C. lit up in fires all over the place around the Capitol. So
yeah,
how many of those people got arrested?
None. They set up bail funds, which our vice president was advertising.
Yeah, and celebrities. So
yeah,
how many of those people got arrested? But you know, how many people in J6? Now that the videos came out, the surveillance videos came out, all the footage. There's a pattern there. So people burn down, you know, cities, businesses, loot, you know, they go into local businesses and steal their goods, but they're not arrested.
Yeah.
Let's pay attention to those patterns there. And here's another one too. I just heard today actually that protesters are suing and they're getting paid.
Really?
Yeah. Well, see if something comes up right now.
Protesters getting paid. Protesters suing. Wow. Well, was that person like injured at the protest or like?
You know what? It was just a quick snippet that I heard. So I'm not 100% sure exactly what, but what I was like half listening, but what caught my ear was that protesters were suing. And I was like, I did like a double take. I was like, what?
Let's see. Hold on. The only one that's coming up was the protester that I think he ran on the field against the Niner Ram game. Uh-huh. And one of the guys on the Rams tackled him. I think he's suing the football player that tackled him. Hold on, let me see.
Insane.
Okay, I wonder if it's this one. Well, I'm seeing one that says protester sues city of Austin for August 2020 incident. Let's see. The lawsuit claims two different Austin police officers shoved a woman named Eli Winkleman after she approached an officer while recording with her cell phone.
Maybe that's the one.
There's that one. Okay. Well, there's one in, from January. It says, Charlotte George Floyd protester sues police over lost fingers. Let me see.
Oh, here. I found it. New York Times. New York will pay millions to protesters violently corralled by police.
New York will pay protesters.
New York City has agreed to pay $21,500 to each of hundreds of demonstrators who were penned in by the police in the Bronx during racial. So, you know, obviously we'd have to dig into this a little bit more, but this is actually a lot of them are popping up. Protesters seek class action against Portland over police use of force.
Yeah, so this one I have
yeah,
right
there's
here.
A lot.
The settlement to the protester suit will see the city pay more than $6 million to 320 people, each individual receiving $21,000. An additional $2,500 will be paid to protesters who were served a desk appearance ticket. Let's see. This is what they're saying. The violence unleashed upon us that night was unintentional, unwarranted, and will be with me for the rest of my life. What the NYPD did, aided by political powers of New York City, was an extreme abuse of power. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Now but
we
like,
remember the images, though. We remember cars being flipped over, set on fire, businesses looted, people assaulted, people killed. But there was excessive force. Well,
yeah,
that's the world we live in now, you know. So
yeah, and I mean, and all you got to do is make it about race, and you know, people can do pretty much whatever they want to do, right? Well, at least that's how it played out in 2020, because it was racial. It was a racial protest because of George Floyd. So you know, they were able to burn whatever they wanted to burn, attack people, all in the name of what, unity and equality, mm-hmm. right? But that same year, and I don't know if this was in New York, I would have to look up where it was exactly, but that same year you had people that were protesting COVID lockdowns, and they were, you know what I mean? They were
arrested straight up.
Arrested, yeah. They were arrested. They were told that they were a danger to society. And it's like, no, well, they're protesting for freedom, right? Like, that they were going to be super spreaders. But the whole... See, that's like one of the times when COVID and the whole media and if you weren't paying attention, it's like, that was some bullshit where the protesters for George Floyd was like, all right, yeah, it's fine because it's for equality. But the ones for freedom were like, oh, those guys are super spreaders.
Oh
like
gosh.
The fact that they differentiated the type of protests with the amount of risk for COVID, like that was some stupid, like.
Yeah. Well, the reason they do that is take a look at the celebrities that said F your freedom. Who was it off the top of your head?
Oh my
Schwarzenegger goodness. Said it. He straight up said it.
Oh yeah, he did.
Yeah. He did. You know, ex-governor here. So, you know, you take a look at all these people that said that, but that's okay. But you know what's awesome? And I was just flipping through the channels. Actually, no, my wife and I were having dinner at Applebee's, and the sports was playing on Saturday, and I saw Kyrie Irving on the screen. And I was like, dude, can you imagine how he feels now after going through all that mess and knowing everything that's coming out about COVID right now? He must feel like so good now that everything's coming out.
And he, I mean, I would imagine now that he's, because he was in Brooklyn at the time. Mm-hmm. So I imagine he's much happier in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
perfect,
I mean?
Perfect marriage right there as far as the athlete and team.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, Schwarzenegger was the one that says, screw your freedom. You know, I'm pretty sure all those crazy ladies on The View.
Oh, yeah.
Probably said something like that. You know,
Gene Simmons was another one. Howard Stern was another one.
Yes, yes. Howard Stern, man, that guy went
deep.
I don't know.
He went deep.
Whoa, just geez, like they cut his nuts off or something.
He was controversial back in the day. I used to listen to him, and he was he didn't give a damn. Yeah. But you know, over time, you fall into a side and. God knows what they have on him, you know. Oh, you know what? I saw this movie yesterday. What the heck?
I can't believe they're gonna pay protesters, man.
Dude, what's that British actor? He's black. Ira.
Yeah, Idris Elba.
Yes. So he came. There's a movie, and it's about this guy that gathers all kinds of blackmail information, and he has like a whole crew where they're hacking into people's cameras and catching them being unfaithful and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So they have all kinds of dirt on them, right? And they force them to do things, but they're like, they have a red room. Do you know what a red room is? It's like the dark web, and there it's like a group, and they have like crazy stuff going on. I don't know a lot about that stuff, but you do hear like conspiracy theories and stuff like that about that. Uh-huh. But anyways, so this movie, remember how we've been talking that they put movies out there about all this stuff that really does happen? So, and that's what, you know, they say that Jeffrey Epstein did is that he would have, you know, people of, you know, high influence, celebrities and stuff like that, politicians, and even royalty. So anyways, they have all kinds of blackmail evidence of them. And, you know, they keep it and they use them to manipulate them and things like that. So anyways, this movie is exactly about that. It's a trip. Mm. It's a trip.
That's, yeah.
And it kind of shows how everything's intertwined, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then just to go back to the New York thing, because I'm surprised they would pay protesters. So I looked it up and it says there were 450 businesses in New York City that were damaged during the protest.
Hey, a question. Now that we identified who the protesters are, right? Can the business owners sue those protesters now that they're getting paid?
Just fair game, just if you ask me. I know, right? You got a list of 320 potential suspects. Yeah, I mean, why not, right? Why? I would imagine that it should be up to the business owners at this point. They had losses that weren't fair and that are going to be with them for the rest of their lives. Isn't that what the other guy said? Yeah. Isn't that what I read?
Same thing.
So, same thing, yeah. It's, But yeah, but I mean, you know, and just to kind of, they weren't just protests, those were riots. So,
yeah,
you know, well, to clear that up.
This is where we have to take it. So why is that happening when there's one side that can do whatever it wants to do with no consequences, right? Mm-hmm. But then the other side does something and they get thrown in jail.
Yeah.
That's communism.
Exactly.
So,
and
go ahead.
And I was going to say, and exactly what, you know, in a sense, what's happening with the whole Trump thing. It's like, it's kind of what you're saying. Like one side does, you know, they do whatever they want so they can have all these crazy investigations that have nothing and all these charges and indictments that have nothing. And they just get away with it, right?
Everything that's coming out about the Bidens, are they getting,
yeah.
Is anybody getting arrested? Is anybody getting, you know, helicopters and boats and
indictments
and all this other stuff? No. Hunter Biden lied on his firearm application about drug abuse and all this other stuff, right? Did they go arrest him?
No. Nope. No.
So
that it's a two-tiered justice system, which is basically communism, because now you have a political party and departments of justice that are just doing pretty much the work of that party. So now it's communism. Okay. You have them taking out their political opponents with shady, crappy, insignificant little, you know what I mean? And then the media rolls with it.
Well, here's the thing is what they used to do back in the day before all of this technology is that you would go out and you would speak out publicly against the government. You know, vans would show up, you would get thrown in there, disappeared, or thrown in jail, and, you know, you just rot in there, right? Mm-hmm. So today's version, 21st century version, is you speak out against the government, you're canceled, you're banned.
Yeah, yeah.
You're off, you know, Twitter, YouTube, or whatever social media is, boom. That's the equivalent mm-hmm. of throwing you in a van and making you disappear in the social media realm, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you can't speak out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. Now they're taking it to the physical level. Now they're going to try to throw this guy in jail. What they're trying to do to him is what they're going to end up doing to us, straight up.
Yeah. And it's straight up just going after your political opponent. Like straight up, there's no other justification to do it, because again, like we said earlier, these people have already said they don't like him. You know, not because he's a criminal, they just don't like his political views. Mm-hmm. They don't like what he stood for when he was in office, right? And you know, that's the whole thing where going back to it being communism, you know, communist countries, they control the media.
They control everything. And
they control everything, yeah. But, you know, the media right now is controlled by the progressive, you know, the Democrat Party, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, when the Twitter files came out, who were the politicians reaching out to Twitter to be like, hey, you might want to shut this down, or look at what this guy's saying. Basically snitching. Hey, Twitter, take this guy down. So that's some communist stuff that is in broad daylight. But if people, you know, like we've said many times, if people that aren't awake just don't see it that way, people that are manipulated, distracted, or whatnot, they just don't, you know,
I
grasp that, I guess,
you know. When Twitter first started getting popular, I drove a lot and I listened to the radio a lot and stuff like that, and was messing around a little bit with Twitter. And there was this election going on a proposition, okay? It was about gay marriage. Mm-hmm. So people came out and they voted. And an interesting fact is that when they were voting for that proposition, it didn't win in any state. That
California.
Not even in California. Not even in California.
Yeah. Prop 8.
There you go. You remember. So
yeah, it didn't win.
California
spoke.
Didn't pass. That's a nice little interesting fact, right? So yeah. The way that it did get passed is through the courts. So you have the court system where they either lean this way or they lean that way. They're not making decisions based on what the people want. You know, they're making political decisions or whatever the case may be, right? So someone tweeted, you know, that this is the this is what should have happened, and this is a good decision that they made. And I thought to myself, I'm like, it's good for you because that's your position. But it went out to the people, for the citizens to vote, and it didn't pass. You should respect that, because down the line, there might be something that you're opposed to and you vote against it and you guys win, but then they're going to circumvent that and they're going to go over to the court system and they're going to overrule what the citizens want. And that's when you're going to be protesting. Yeah. That's when you're not going to agree with it. And, you know, we got to keep that in mind, because when it's in our favor, we're all for it. But when it's not, you're going to be beyond upset.
Yeah. And you're right. And that's the thing here. And especially here in California, for example, it's a super majority legislatively. So, you know, the governor picks all those judges and all that. He's going to pick judges that are, you know, for his agenda, not for upholding the law, the Constitution, none of that. It's the agenda I want to pass. And yeah, that's one example of where the people said, "Now we don't want this here." And, you know, they threw the back door, they backdoored it. And now we, you know, boom, now we have that here.
But that's to your point, is that when they appoint judges that way, you know, the entire system is leaning this way. That, you know, and you're building the communist state.
Yeah, of California.
Well, you know, slowly, you know, and then
yeah,
you start spreading. You know, there's a lot of people moving to Texas from California and stuff like that. And the reason I bring that up is, you know, that's how it gets started, and people don't pay attention to it. And and you have to respect it, right? You have to if you voted and it was a fair election and it legitimately didn't go your way, you have to respect it.
Yeah.
That's the rule of law. That's the way things are supposed to function. You can't circumvent it. If it leans on your side, then like I said, it's all good. You're all smiles. But if it isn't, then what do at that point?
I mean, and at that point, too, it goes to how people vote, right? Because then people end up being partisan, too. And again, if they fall for the okie doke, they just go, you know, vote Democrat all the way down, or even Republican, right? Vote Republican all the way down. They don't do any research on the candidates, what exactly they're, you know, what agenda they're pushing or what they're promising to the people. Because at the end of the day, right, they're going to represent us.
Yeah.
And again, if we, the people, make a decision and we spoke, and then they go against us because, well, you know, the people's decision isn't the party's decision, then, like you said, right, it'll eventually get you somewhere where you don't agree with it. And it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right. And I know they did that with Prop 8, but I know they also did that, I think the courts did, with, I want to say, like, maybe 10, 12 years ago. I remember this, and, you know, at that time, maybe it was more than that, because I wasn't really paying, like, a lot of attention, but I remember this sticking out. There was a prop that made it all the way to the ballot because the people voted for it, to split the state.
Mm.
And when the election came, was, you know, when it was close to election time, the California Supreme Court had that prop removed from the ballot. And I remember seeing, I'm going to look it up, because I remember seeing that. That was one of the times where I saw that. And I was like, that's weird. Like, how, why would they do that if the people,
if that's, you know, what you want, it's like, you advance, yeah. It. Yeah, but, you know, just to point out, you know, how a lot of people don't believe that we live in that type of environment and with this government. You've got to, again, open your eyes and you've got to recognize it and you've got to see it, because that's exactly what it is. You know, we're sliding into, you know, a communist state. And it sounds like, but when you tell that to people, they make you feel like you're exaggerating, you know, and stuff like that. But no, that's how they do it. They win by inches. It's little by little. First, it's just this. Then next, it's just that. And before you know it, you lost all power, and then you can't say anything. You know, you'll get arrested. You'll get banned. You'll get canceled. That is communism.
Yeah. No, and it was more recent than that, Harry Hotch. It was in 2018. Measure to split the state, California, into three states, removed from ballot by the state Supreme Court. So I remember this, and I was like, how do they have the power to remove a proposition that, you know, a prop has to, like, work its way into the ballot. It's not like, oh, I want to split the state in five, and then it just gets on there. It, like, it goes through a whole process to get on the ballot to begin with. So I guess this guy was the main guy.
Oh, wow.
Tim Draper, Silicon Valley Venture.
Yeah, that's surprising. He's from Atherton, and Atherton is pretty lib.
He said he spent $5.2 million promoting a measure that would split California into six. It did not qualify on the ballot. So it says, he reacted angrily to the court's action, calling it corruption. Whether you agree or not with this initiative, this is not the way democracies are supposed to work, he said in an email. This kind of corruption is what happens in third world countries. Like, yeah, like, that's what I thought. I was like, how does the court, I would have to check how many.
That just adds to the point, is third world countries are like communist countries. And that's exactly what this is becoming.
So it says, just to kind of read this in a brief order, the court said it acted because significant questions have been raised regarding the proposition's validity, and because we conclude that the potential harm in permitting the measure to remain on the ballot outweighs the potential harm in delaying the proposition to a future election. So it's like, okay, what election are you going to throw it in on, and what harm? You know what I mean? The court, meeting in a closed session, also agreed to rule eventually on the measure's constitutionality, a ruling that is likely to go against the initiative. It's like, again, if people get it to that point, how is it unconstitutional? Because the people are the ones that allowed it to get to that point. You know what I mean? But yeah, I just kind of, when we were talking about that, I remember seeing that, and I remember going, this shit is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, would it have passed? Probably. I don't know, man. We never got to see it.
They were definitely afraid of it, or else they wouldn't have got moved. They would have been like, you guys are crazy. Go ahead. Try to split the state up. See what happens. But they didn't. Exactly. So what does that tell you?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, and when are they going to allow it? What future ballot are they going to allow it on? You know, I would have to look up, like, what is going on with that guy? Is he still trying to, you know,
is he still alive?
Fighting it? Is he, damn. But I say, hey, it's a good question. Because, I mean, you know, from the story, it said he spent $5 million. So, I mean, I don't know how much money that guy has.
But he's got some money.
He's got some money. But, yeah. Man, like, But yeah, going that's kind of, you know, the point we've been talking about.
See, how it goes back to what we were talking about earlier too, is that they want to keep it about race. They don't want to keep it about freedom. They don't want to keep it about every race's issues and concerns. They want to split us up. Mm-hmm. So we're not, you know, we don't necessarily pay attention to that because they have us fighting or disagreeing about race or whatever woke, you know, subject they're on right now. So that's how they do it. That's how they separate us. It goes back to the same freaking playbook. It really does.
It does. But yeah, I mean, just kind of going back to the indictment thing. What I think, because I think it's political, right? I think that's kind of obvious.
If you're on the left and you're on the right, if you're real, you're going to say, yes, it's political at this stage. Come on, man.
And then, yeah. So the thing that I kind of think is like, all right, it's a political attack. And it's like, if they want to arrest Trump, they don't want to arrest him because the charges are going to stick.
It's just a smear campaign. Nancy Pelosi told us that dummy actually on TV gave us the definition of a smear campaign. It's a smear campaign.
Yeah. All they want is the visuals for the 2024 ads. They want visuals. They're
convicted criminal. Donald Trump is running for president.
Exactly. They're praying that they see Trump walking in handcuffs. You know what I mean?
Donald Trump is so gangster. He's so gangster that he would use his mugshot and him in handcuffs and stuff like that. He would use those pictures for his campaign.
He put it in the White House.
Yep. And it would work.
But that to me, I see that and I go, all right, that's all they want. They want the visuals to run the ads to then convince people, oh, look at this criminal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And to me, that's all it is. You know, I feel like, yeah, if people protest, not necessarily it's a trap, but there's going to be agitators mixed in there that are, again, more visuals to make it seem like, you know, these people are crazy. To kind of that confirmation bias we were talking about last time.
Yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my head around if there's agitators that go out there. We know their playbook, right? Mm-hmm. It's being shown on the J6 surveillance videos. Mm-hmm. How would they be able to get away with it on this go around? I don't know. I think, okay, so like you said, it smells and it looks like, you know, J6 repeat, right? Mm-hmm. But what if Trump is setting them up?
Yeah, because there's the other part of me too that goes, okay, this is obviously feels very political and very like communist, where it's like, yeah, like you probably should go protest something like this. You know what I mean? Like,
but it depends on the type of protest too, though, because I've seen some people was like, pray for Trump, peaceful. Or just, you know, have a flag out. So, you know, on your car, like a flag, one of those little banners, a sticker or something like that.
I saw one where someone was suggesting to put was it when you put the flag upside down? Like outside your house?
Yeah.
That kind of process. I saw some people suggesting for like conservatives to take out basically all the money they have in the bank for like a week or something. Mm-hmm. Just to like, even doing that would
It would scare the crap out of the banks. They shit their pants. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think stuff like that. Because, I mean, these banks.
That's a good idea. Can you imagine? Wells Fargo
donated, like, I don't know how many hundreds of millions to BLM for what. But, you know what I mean? Like, companies already chose, you know, their side, mm-hmm. right? And yeah, but if you did that, imagine if all right, every conservative in the country.
So imagine 80 million people did that at once.
Real people.
Yeah, real people. Not dead people.
Ain't no way that fool. Talk about wrapping your head around things. Ain't no way Biden got 81 million votes, most popular president of all time. That you gotta be. I still can't.
Hey, you know, a lot of people don't like to bring up the election fraud subject because I don't know, they're embarrassed to bring it up like it's not a real thing. It's almost like the Second Amendment. People don't like to say, well, you know, we need firearms for hunting. It's like, we don't need fire. That's not what the Second Amendment is for. It's like, just be real, nut up, mm-hmm. and say that it's, you know, for civilians, in case, you know, there's a tyrannical government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Yep. Let's not pussyfoot around it. Look, the evidence is there. If you don't want to see it, then that's on you. But there's a reason why they did the mail-in ballots, ballot harvesting, and the numbers do not match up. Straight up. Mm-hmm. Computers not working. We use the computers because it's fail safe. So you're telling me that we use the computers, but that because they're fail safe, but they're failing.
Yeah. But and I think you said this last time when we kind of were talking about it a little bit, was how is it that technology has advanced and our elections have gotten worse?
Answer me that riddle.
And it's, you know, it's not that they got worse. It's just they figured it out. They know how to, you know, do what they got to do.
It's patterns. The same. Yeah. So the same computer systems that they used in Brazil, they use here. The same computer systems they used in Venezuela. All of those, mm-hmm. guess what? Corrupt, communist type of governments. Hence, United States turning into communist country. Come on.
You know who's doing it right? El Salvador. Have you seen those videos?
Oh, the prison?
How they got all the gangsters?
Yeah, the prison.
Yeah, the prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how the Democrats want to see Trump.
Oh, check this out. Did you hear this one? Did you hear this one? You're going to like this one. So the president is getting backlash. The president of El Salvador is getting backlash because he's putting all these gangsters, criminals in a prison that is, mm-hmm. I think, inhumane or something like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's getting mm-hmm. backlash for that. But when these gangsters were recruiting young kids and mm-hmm. killing people mm-hmm. and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, where were they at?
Yeah. I don't think they were worried about human rights of whoever they were chopping up.
He's doing it for human rights, for civil rights.
I think that, yeah, that guy's doing it right, if you ask me. That gang was taking over the country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine if Mexico did that to the cartels? Let's go.
Dude.
But, you know, that's a whole nother subject. Cartels pretty much run Mexico, so.
Yeah. But.
I can't go to Mexico no more.
Nobody can. Everybody's afraid to. If you want to go to vacation, you think about it. How's the environment over there right now?
Yeah, like what state am I going to? What?
Mm-hmm. You hear stories about resorts and drive-bys on a jet ski and stuff like that. It's like, what?
Damn, we gotta find a new spot to go to.
But going back, like you said, with the indictment, it, mm-hmm. obviously it's political. We have to respect, you know, the people's decision. So when we allow rogue DAs, you know, do this, we got to get them out. Got to get them out. Yeah. We got to start pulling these people out. Yeah. We can't let that happen.
Yeah. And then, you know, at this point, it's like if he get to me, right, like say if he gets indicted, I'd say he goes through a whole court trial thing. It's like I don't trust it being an impartial jury at this point. Who the hell doesn't know about Donald Trump? Who doesn't know about the Stormy Daniels? Mm-hmm. You know, because it's based on that. That's all you heard for months. So, you know, any adult would know
the backstory. Interesting thing about going to court, you know, he's going to get arrested. He's going to have a lawyer. They're going to have a whole mm-hmm. trial. The interesting thing about trials is that there's discovery. So there's the evidence. Yeah. So he could pull up all kinds of different evidence that he might have that he might not be able to normally mm-hmm. present, you know, like through media or social media and stuff like that. And the mm-hmm. attention that it's going to receive, not just nation, like not nationally, but internationally, is insane. So that's why I'm saying it almost smells like a setup to me by Trump. It's like, take me to court. Take me to court. Yeah. This thing is going to be covered international. What I have for discovery in that court case is going to blow people's minds. You know, it's going to blow their lids. That's why I feel like it's almost like a setup. It's like a dare. I dare you.
Yeah, I dare you. Well, all he would have to do is he could call up Stormy Daniels. He'd be like,
yeah.
So what'd you say about the money? What'd you say about the affair? Now you're under oath. So if she's the one that got paid the hush money, she's on the stand and she says that under oath.
Mm-hmm.
She could be the first witness he calls up and she says that never happened.
Which she already did.
Which she already did. That case is gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But shut up, Siri. But yeah, I didn't think of it that way, the way you were thinking about it, where he's kind of calling, like, it's like calling their bluff, but it's like, do it. Cause I'm ready.
Yeah. And he beat him to the punch already because, Giuliani, remember how they went into him, you know, when they raided him mm-hmm. and, Roger Stone.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
They wanted that whole media circus around it. They wanted to go in choppers. They wanted to go in the boats. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that he lives by the ocean. So Roger Stone lived by like a lake or
I think, yeah, down there,
or something like that. So they came on the boats. So they'd be coming through land, air, and sea to go get Trump. Can you imagine that?
I'll tell you.
And remember,
it's like a Hollywood script. It's just those visuals. Uh-huh. Those fucking ads are going to be.
They need that guy that does the voice, you know?
Yeah. In a world.
Yeah. In a world where a convicted criminal becomes president. But, you know, that's what they wanted. But Trump said, hey, if they're coming for me, or I don't know the exact words he used, but if they're coming for me, you know, I'll turn myself in and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
So he already beat him to the punch. So that whole dramatic scene is out the window. Everybody knows. It's no surprise.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
unless they now decide to do what they did, because when they did the whole raid for the classified documents, Trump was already talking with the what is it called? Like the archive? I forget what that department's called, but the one in charge of those documents.
Yeah.
He was already in contact with them saying, all right, I got them. And they knew he had them.
They had already gone through that entire process. They had already gone. They have already reviewed them. And they actually mm-hmm. told them to put another lock on that room.
Yeah, they were locked. They were in the safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To put another lock, and they had already gone through that. So it's like, okay, we're good. Takes off, and then they go raid the spot.
Yeah. So unless they do something like that where he's
but
like,
but still, oh, he took the flare away.
Yeah.
He could be like, I told you, you know, I said I would go in. They still come and do their show.
Yeah.
So he already took that away from him, in my opinion. Come and get me. Come and get me. We'll go to court and I'll show you what I've got.
Yeah. Damn, I actually want to see that now.
Well,
put it on. He's been, like you said, right?
He's been calling everything. He said that, you know, the virus came from China. They said he was crazy. What's the news that just came out?
Yep, lab leak.
Lab leak from China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's everything. He has said a lot of things that ended up being true. And, you know, I think it just overall, it was just, you know, it's just the damn media and these damn politicians, you know, rhinos, Democrats, all of them, you know, it's a uniparty. It really is
because the reason that I thought that Trump was real is because both sides, I don't know if people remember, but both sides were going after him hard when he was running for president. And I was like, damn, Republicans and Democrats are going after him like crazy.
Yeah. And you know what? Like the media, like the Congress people that they make look like are the craziest ones or like the dumbest ones, if you will, are the ones that are like America first. So like they make it out to like where Marjorie Taylor Greene looks crazy, Matt Gaetz is crazy, Lauren Boebert is crazy, but it's like they're like, as far as the vibe I get, they're real like America first, trying to do stuff for the people.
The best way that I could put it is they're common sense, they're pragmatic, they think about things in a way that a normal person would, you know, they don't let their emotions get in the way. That's the first thing that you have to do is like when you're making a decision, whether it's business or any type of decision, put your freaking emotions aside, put them away, think about it and make the right call, make the right decision, but it goes back to the playbook. You know, they have these events where they make us try to make us get emotional and make an emotional decision. And that is going away. You know, that's why I kid around and say, you know, one eye is opening because people are seeing the playbooks.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there's only so many times you can repeat the same thing over and over. You know, people catch on. Yeah. You know, that's why a lot of, for example, you know, Latino people have, you know, woken up to all the BS, right? Because like I said, you can't do the same thing over and over and over and then not deliver or you know what I mean? You're just running the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people wake up to it. And I think the Latino community has done that. Cause I went on that show with the one in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. And the Cubanos in Florida.
Yeah. I listened to the whole show. It was interesting listening was to like the Cuban people talking. But
Cuban people are very passionate. They don't, you know, they give it to you straight. So yeah.
I think one of the guys was like 80. I think he said he was 82. And he was going. I was like, oh wow, all right, man, good. But he brought up the numbers of how the Latino vote for, you know, Republican candidates has gone up. For conservatives, and you know, like we've said before many times on the show, and I said it on there, it's like, well, people are probably figuring out, you know, or maybe they're doing little, you know, analyzing themselves and their values and going, you know what, I don't, this whole, let's say, abortion thing is getting too extreme, like I'm not for that, or this is getting too extreme. I'm not like that. You know what I mean? Like, people are, like you said, the eye is opening.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of tricky because, so you have people that are a little bit older and they remember, or they hear the stories from their parents coming from a communist country and knowing how bad it is. Right. Mm-hmm. The scary part is the young people, is the young Latinos, is
they never got through.
They haven't experienced it. Everything's been good. This is normal to them, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why they try to grab the young too. And we got to shake them and wake them up. So it's one of those things, but you know what? I kind of do see like a trend, a change in young people. I'm not sure. I've been trying to put my finger on it and trying to figure out exactly why they're a little bit more awake, you know? Because maybe it is today's technology with all the information that's coming out. Before, maybe they were just getting one side, but now with all the memes and all that stuff, because memes are crazy, because without saying many words, you know, with the picture and a caption, it speaks 1,000 words because it just makes sense. Yeah. And that common sense that kicks in, I think, is overriding all the crazy stuff that they hear that doesn't make sense. Yeah. So I don't know. I've been kind of, that's been swirling in my mind, you know, thinking about
that. Yeah, I mean, that theory makes sense. Social media and like you said, the memes, you know, they're funny, but like you said, you look at it, it's like, yeah, this makes sense. This looks like common sense stuff. You know what I mean? Even like, for example, like the Babylon Bee, because they do a bunch of parody, like headlines, basically memes, right? But it's supposed to look like news headlines. And then it's like, you read those and they're funny, but then like the real version, like your mind goes to the real version of that would be like so stupid. And I think things like that are kind of like helping, you know, yeah, kids are probably on social media all day, and then, you know, they get algorithms, or if they have friends that share things with them. And, you know, I think too, it's, you know, a lot of, you know, conservative parents, I think, talk to their kids about this kind of stuff. Cause, you know, it is, like we've said before, it's like real world stuff, right? And I think, you know, younger kids probably talk to their friends about it. You know, they might have those conversations like, hey, what do you think about this? Or if somebody, like, or if a kid says something and, you know, to another kid, it's like, like, no, it's not, like, and they start having those conversations, you know. It could be something like that too.
Yeah. I always tell the story is like, I was talking to a guy that was maybe a little bit younger than me, maybe 5 years younger than me, but in my generation I saw this a lot too, is that they depended a lot on the schools to teach their kids a lot of stuff that we're supposed to be teaching them. And he straight up said, hey, man, I just go to work. I get paid and that's it. You know, they go to school and they learn what they're supposed to learn. And I'm like, damn, that's sad. And maybe, like you said, right now is the kids are talking to other people and they're kind of like, you know, dropping little red pills and stuff like that with social media and the memes and all this other stuff. Yeah. And maybe instead of getting red pilled by the parents, they're getting red pilled, you know, by things like that. So I don't know, but there's something weird going on. I do see a lot of young people that I just go, wow, that's pretty cool that, you know, they're thinking outside of what they're being crammed down their throat in, you know, elementary school, middle school and high school and stuff like that. So college. So I don't know, but it's a good sign, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Is like, but you know, I'm an optimist, so I don't know. Them someone that is maybe a pessimist would tell me, no, that's not the truth. But I don't know. I firmly believe that there's more good people than bad people in this world. So
yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know. I kind of want to share this right now that we're talking about this, but. It was about my sister, Letty. So when you guys were expecting Isabel, she was kind of worried and she was going, hey, I'm not too sure if I want to bring a kid into this world. And I was like, oh, I don't want my sister to feel that way. And I was like, and naturally, I was just like, okay, well, if you feel that way, right? Because there's a lot of bad people in this world. You got to think about it. You're bringing a good person into this world. Mm-hmm. So put a positive spin on it. It's like, if you think that there's more negative people, hey, you got to even it out. You bring in a good person into this world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And oh my goodness gracious, talking about young kids and being, you know, self thinkers and being smart. She has said some of the smartest things as a little kid that I've been around. Is like, that was the ultimate definition of bringing in a good person into this world. You know what I mean? So
she drops little red pills.
Bam, without even thinking about it. It's just like instinct. It's like, bam. And it's in a nice way too. It's like,
She's like, you know, she's not being rude or anything. She's just, in her mind, it's like, no, this is like, okay.
You're entitled to your opinion. Everybody's different. So it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. Like, common sense. Smart though. Not. Yeah.
But no, that makes a lot of sense. Like to put it that way. Cause I mean, it's, you know, sometimes, you could feel like the world is, you know, all you see is negativity, right? So it could make it feel like it's a lot of bad. But
get away with your bad vibes. I want good vibes. Mm-hmm. You know, yes.
And then, you know, it, not to go into too much of another subject, but it's like, it's, you know, the people you hang out with, you associate with, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to bring your vibe up or down.
Yep.
And you know, I think you get to a point where it's like, all right, I don't need that shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and the people that you hang out with, like, like for example, like me. Like there's not a lot of people that I talk to, you know? And the people that I do talk to or, you know, hang out with is at this point it's just basically family. You know what I mean? Because the way that I feel is I benefit the most or I gain the most when I'm like with you guys. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With you, Vino, my cousin Christian, just family, you know, Hector. When it's family and we're together, it's like that's when like I know we gain together because like we in a sense like we'll hold each other accountable. You know what I mean? And we don't, there's no, I don't feel like there's any, like, where you don't, like, for example, you, like, where you don't have to feel like, oh, damn, I can't tell him this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and then, like, if I have something, like, I don't feel like, oh, damn, I can't tell Danny that. Like, I feel like I gain more from you guys because we're able to communicate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's healthy. That's the way that I think every relationship should be, whether it's personal work and stuff like that. But unfortunately, in this communist country, no, I'm just saying. But, I mean, it's got a lot of similarities with the communist countries. Like you say the wrong thing, what do they say? Yeah. See something, say something, or hear something, say something. I don't know. Some bullshit. Snitch.
But you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is like, you know, we don't put each other down. We're not negative.
No.
You know, we're not
try to rise up instead of
we try down. To build each other up, you know what I mean?
But, you know, and being Latino and stuff like that, even George Lopez had jokes about that idiot. is that you try to say, hey, I'm gonna open up a business. Ah, you How are you going to be able to open up a business? Da, 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 stuff.
You're going to start a podcast, bro?
Yeah. You? No.
Nah, dude. I mean, you know, I think it has a lot to do with the people you associate with as well.
Yeah.
That bring you up or down. And, you know, I think that's, again, that's a whole nother topic. But
dude, that's a good topic, though. Gotta analyze. That's a good topic.
Like who you're spending time with and what are you gaining being with those people? And then also, what are you losing being with those people? You know what I mean? If you lose more than you're gaining, then, you know, it's shit. It's probably time to move on. You know, find a new relationship or a new, you know what I mean? Something that's going to better you, bring your life, you know, like you said, better vibes and just more success. You know, it'll make you want to be better.
Yeah,
basically.
I think that's a great topic for another one, right there. Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, again,
there's truth to Mexican Americans or Mexicans, period. Instead of helping each other, you know, you want to push down. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what that's about. I know it's not true for, you know, everybody, but, mm-hmm. you know, if we're bringing real, that happens a lot in our culture. Yeah. So,
yeah. But, you know, also in our culture is, you know, family is everything. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, sometimes why, as we get older, you know, most of the time it's just, you know, we're with family.
Yeah.
And all the extra stuff is kind of like, you know, obviously you have your friends here and there, but the most important people in your life end up being your family.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's part of the culture too. And we just got to.
Well, there's good and bad. Keep it that way, right? Yep. So we're going to focus on the good, being positive.
Hell yeah. Always. All right, then. Well, hope you enjoyed that one. Share it. Subscribe. You know, whatever you can to spread the word about this show. And like we said, like I said on the last episode, is, you know, if you're afraid or if you don't want to have that conversation, but you hear something on here that you might want someone else to listen to, send them an episode, you know, and see what they think. You know, we're just two dudes talking about the world, what's going on and how we see it. And, you know, I feel like we're giving people a different perspective that they don't really hear because, like we said before, the media, all that is swayed to one direction. We're more conservative, but like I said, we don't jam it down your throat as far as like, you got to be like us or get out. You know what I mean? But, you know, we're here. And like I said, I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, well, we'll see you on the next one. Yeah, keep it going.
All right, sounds good.
Later.